myself that I will discuss one topic today, which is more halachic topic. I can't discuss all the topics, please, that's fine. But I will discuss, attempt to discuss one of them. In general, the Gemara in Brachos of Chavdalah that you're familiar with, the Gemara has several comments with reference to the issues that have yet to see us. Tefa b'isha erva, shok b'isha erva, kol b'isha erva, tsar b'isha erva. And I want to first, by way of a little bit of hashkafa, if I may, the shus, Aravidra. It is very difficult today in our society to discuss in Yenet Tzvias. And the reason is because, to a large extent, the values of the society that we live in are totally antithetical to Tzvias. The concept of Tzvias is so foreign. We're living in such a permissive and promiscuous society, and it's not just a matter of degree, it's two different worlds. Min v'shein omino. Anyone who's familiar with what is happening, all of you are. And that is the greatness of being in the Torah society. The Torah society is markedly different from society at large. And unfortunately, societal mores have so dramatically changed in the last several decades that even the frum community, even Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, as all of you, we've been affected by it tremendously. The Rambam writes that a person is very much a part of his environment, and there's no doubt we've been terribly affected by society and societal mores, and for two reasons. One, because of the fashion styles in society, and number two, because of ignorance of the halacha. Many people are not aware of the halacha, especially in these areas. I happen to have one bit of an advantage, maybe not much of an advantage. I founded and established a post-high school girls program called MMY. Maybe some of you probably are not familiar with this since you're just learning Torah all day and all night. So I did establish such a program many, many years ago, and I actually taught in Yonet Tznius in that institution for many years. And that's really my only connection to these sugyas. I do have a connection from a halachic standpoint as a rav who has to deal with these issues also, but I'm just noting to you, often when people think about tznius, they right away, when you start talking about using yonet, you think that the person's a fanatic, he's a religious zealot, and basically he should be reserving his remarks or people in Williamsburg, I don't mean Williamsburg, Virginia, but Williamsburg in New York, which is a Hasidic enclave, and or Mea Shearim. Those are the areas I want you to address issues of tznius, because many of these halachas people think are only chumras. A rather distinguished persona told me many years ago in 1971 that tznius is a gray area of halacha. I won't say who it was, but anyway, I don't think it's as gray as this person contended. I think it has some rather black and white elements to it as well. There are fundamental halachas observed by the Jewish community for thousands of years. So therefore, I think anyone who wants to live a life of Kedusha has to be familiar with the laws of tznius. And I'm talking about tznius in the sense of what the Gemara says, Baratzi Yetzahara, Baratzi Torah Tablet. Torah is the antidote, obviously, to the Yetzahara. And certainly, as you undoubtedly are aware, that the area specifically, people generally tend to think that tznius is only associated with which gender? The female gender. They're the ones who have to, the Bill of Gaon writes actually, the Gaon says that the basis for Ashras Hashrina, as far as women are concerned, the most important quality, as far as women are concerned, is the quality of tznius. And I'm telling that to you because, Yitz Hashem, when you get married, in a fair number of years, that's one of the qualities I want you to look for a woman who's tanua. Not only tanua in terms of a dress, but as the Rambam writes in the Talmud Torah, we have tanua in chokhma. A person who's a Talmud chokhma has to be tanua. Maran, Rabbi Avadi Yosef Zatzal, who was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, in many, many respects, he points out that the protection of Klal Yisrael really lies in tznius. The Pasuk of Chumash, the Torah says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Nisalech B'Kerem Machanecha V'Hoyah Machanecha Kodosh. Well, a year b'cha er masdava, that's a very important pasuk that Gemara discussed in Brachos. V'shom me'acharecha. So the protection of Klal Yisrael lies in the fact that even on the battlefield situation, we are tzanua, means chayalim, chayalei tzahal, or other chayalim in general, as long as there's no erva and there's modesty and sanctity in the camp, they'll be protected from their enemies. And that's something which is ingrained in Klal Yisrael for generations. That's what Rav Avadia Zatzal writes at great length about this particular topic, and it's psukim mechumish in Tanakh. Those who are familiar with it, as undoubtedly all of you are, I'll just tell you a moving story. By way of Hakdama, just give me a little Hakdama, because Hashkofa is also very fundamental. Rabbi Badwinik, my Rebbe, is sitting here, so he appreciates this. Anyway, There was a young girl who actually lived during the time of the Spanish Inquisition. She refused to convert to Christianity. She was sentenced to death. And her punishment was she's going to be tied to a rope and dragged through the streets to her death. And before the punishment was meted out, they asked her what her last wish was. I see you're familiar with the story. They asked her what her last wish was, and she requested pins. I don't know if you know what a pin is. I assume people know what pins are. Yes. Pins and needles, that's an expression. So she requested pins, and she pinned her dress to her flesh. Why? Because she realized that when she would be dragged through the streets, her dress might be torn, and obviously she would be in an immodest situation, an immodest position, so she pinned her dress to her flesh. In the last moments of her life, she was missing that for instance. This story I've traced, I can't discuss it now because that would require a history lesson, which I'm capable of doing as well, but I won't do that. I won't plague you or suffer you. The word suffer could be also a verb. It's used in different forms. I taught English and Marxism in college. Anyway, whatever the case is, so she refused to be a modest, and that's the mysterious nefesh of women, benot Yisrael, tzniyas, is a very fundamental notion in halacha, and therefore, it's important to be aware of some of the parameters of tzniyas before you actually, but hashkafically, you have to understand, there are certain objective standards that every Jewish woman has to follow, no matter what type of society she lives in, no matter what the particular zeitgeist is, no matter what the ethos of that particular, the mores of that particular cultural ambience that she finds herself in, the environs that she is, shall we say, ensconced in, it's irrelevant. There are certain absolute standards of tznias that one has to follow. And then there are other areas of tznias that I'll tell you, I'm going to go back on the Shabura talks about here in Siddur 9a, that we'll get to. I don't know if we'll get to them, but so I'm basically, my interest in today is to talk about the issue of Kol B'Isha Erva, which the Gemara says over here. And the Gemara, as you know, Amar Shmuel, Kol B'Isha Erva Shenemar, Ki Kolech Orev U'Marech Nolech. Of course, right away you notice, Miyad, that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes on Chadal and Aleph, the Gemara quotes a pasuk that has two segments to it. Ki Kolech Orev, which means that her voice is sweet, U'Marech Nolech, and her appearance is comely, pleasing. Why does the Gemara quote this pasuk? And apparently two segments of the pasuk are connected, clearly. And this is also a discussion, and this Hashem, I hope we'll get to, in a little short while. Now Rashi comments, the Rashi on the white line, Midu Shabech lo kuro v'gabo, Shema mina taibahi. Rashi notes that since the pasuk of Shehashir praises the woman for this particular quality that she has, kolei chorei, therefore apparently there's some sort of sensuality, some sensual element that's evolved over here, in this issue of Kol B'Isha Erva. And I know it's basically, just one second, a call of a woman can stimulate a man to inappropriate thoughts, and that's what Rashi is indicating. A voice can be an erotic stimulation for a man. And that's why the Gemara is using this in the following context. The Gemara, and that's what we'll see in Shulchan in a moment, namely, the context is that a man is not allowed to say Kriya Shema, or Davin, or say Brachos, or learn Torah, in the presence of a woman who is singing, number one. Number two, you cannot listen to the singing voice of a woman, even if you're not involved in Garsha Mikdusha. The first halacha is if you're involved in Garsha Mikdusha, correct? And the second halacha is Kol B'Isha Erva, just listening to the singing voice of a woman is also not permissible. Even when a person's wife is singing, and she's not a nida, and that's another discussion, hopefully we'll get to, one cannot say Garsha Mikdusha, because at that time, we're concerned that the Kol B'Isha can arouse in a man certain inappropriate thoughts at a time when one should have thoughts of Kedusha, of holiness. Again, it only applies to a singing voice of a woman and doesn't apply to the to a woman speaking, to a woman talking. This is a discussion in Rishayim, and I'm Rishayim, well, I'm not going even on that, which is, shall we say, out there, as you would put it. That's an expression I learned from you, out there. But this issue is essentially consists of two segments. Okay, yeah, Rabbi Rimba, yeah.
So it's saying here, because it says in the pasuk that it speaks about kol as one of the attractive things, so that's why we're saying that's Erva.
Correct.
And so it's listing a bunch of things that are listed, that they're all Erva. But in Shershim it says it speaks about lips, it speaks about teeth, it speaks about all different parts of the body, and we don't say they're all Erva.
First of all, that the group requires an understanding of Shershim. I thought this would be Shemim had a view Shershim. Achutz the Rambam, and all the other Mishnah. There's a lot of sexual imagery, that's what Rabbi Rim was referring to in Shir HaShirim. And the question is, how does one take all that sexual imagery? And unfortunately, Shir HaShirim, to a large extent, has been distorted by many who somehow see it as being really a Megillah which has in it a lot of eroticism, sexual fantasy, and what have you. That is a gracious error. That is a total misunderstanding of Shir HaShirim. The Mishnah writes that Kol HaShirim Kedesh v'Shir HaShirim Kedesh Kedoshim. What does that mean? So I guess there's a lot of discussion, but essentially, Shir HaShirim cannot be understood in a literal way at all. So only what Chazal tell us, even though there are a lot of descriptions of different parts of the body in Shir HaShirim, as Rabbi Rimla mentioned just now, but clearly Chazal understood very well that, again, these body parts are obviously erotic in nature. And here, as I said, we're talking about body parts that are considered to be objective erva, al-fi halacha. Let's say a woman's breasts, objective erva, no question about it. And that Chazal, here, the only discussion is in the language of the pasuk that the Gemara quotes over here by shok v'isha erva. The question is, what is that? Machlokes of Rishonim, machlokes of poskim, what exactly is included in shok? But in general, Shir HaShirim, we do not take it in a literal kind of way. Chas v'shalom. The Rambam writes that Shir HaShirim is essentially a romantic description of the relationship in Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He writes a very beautiful tshuva and Moreh Nevuchim, a few other places. And the Rashi sheet is not like that. Rashi holds that Shir HaShirim is a historical allegory. It more or less connects us to different events that occurred in our history, both the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, etc. That's how Rashi understands it. But in terms of the essential question that was raised, you're right, Shir HaShirim has many, much erotica that is mentioned there, but Chazal more or less have covered it in this, in their encapsulated kind of fashion, namely, Sar B'Isha, Kol B'Isha, Shok B'Isha. Shok essentially contains all those elements that are found in Shir HaShirim, and therefore there's no need to really elaborate another particular body part. Shok really encapsulates all of it, because we're talking about erva that's objective erva. As I said, not erva that's a function of Minig HaMakom, but erva that's objective, and even though Chazal don't mention all the items, they mention Shok, but Pashas, I would say, that they're all subsumed under the rubric of Shok. But I'm talking about Kol B'Isha erva right now. Yeah, what do you want to say?
In terms of Kol B'Isha being recorded also,
I will discuss that, but you have to give me a chance. I believe that I will discuss it.
Just in terms of your religious question, so it does sound like from Rashi that the Gemara is really extracting these halachos from the Pesukim, but these are dinim derabanan.
This is a big machlokes of Rishonim. The Chayyim learns that these are dinim derabanan. That would be the pashtus. Pashtus of the sugya is that these are all dinim derabanan. If I'm not mistaken, the Sechende quotes from the Prima Godim and the Dibre Chayfetz that these are dinim derabanan. It's not the mashmos of the sugya at all. At best, one would say, Asmachta Ba'alma. At best. And the truth of the matter is that even if you look at the Mechaber, if you don't mind, since we have it in front of us, the Lashon of the Mechaber here would also seem to suggest there was a Hilchos Kriyas Shema, and the language of the Mechaber, which I think is pretty revealing. Did I zero the right pages? Why did I not Xerox the right page? Will you stop that for a second? You'll notice there's a, in terms of Rabbi Ifrah Shlita's question, the Zedin Darai, Zedin Darabonin, Machlon is Apostle. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara, the Piyani was Daiti, that we're talking about the Din Darabonin, it's very clear to me. However, there's a Rai from Moshe HaMechaber. But the Mechaber says, as I hope I'll see it soon, Yeshli Zoyer. That's Lashon HaMechaber. The Mechaber says, Yesh Lizoyer, I don't have it here, Yesh Lizoyer, Mishmias Kol Zemer, Yisha B'Shas Kriyashma. What does Yesh Lizoyer sound like? One should be cautious. The Ramor writes, Afilu B'Yishto, even when it comes to your wife. You can't, again, you can't say Kriyashma, Dvar Shabikusha, Brachas, learn Torah at that moment, correct, when Kol Yisha is taking place. And then I think the Lashon HaMechaber is, Kol HaRogil Bo Eina Erva, her speaking voice is not considered to be Erva. The Ami Shomer held that was also Erva. We don't pass the law like that. But the Lashon of Yesh Lizoyer, what does that sound like? Yesh Lizoyer is in the Rabbanan. So there's not in the Raisa, unquestionably. Unless the Rova Poskim assume like that. I think though the State Chemet, you would remember, he quotes actually in that famous Tshuva where he discusses his father Shaposkin and the Gosser people go there, the Dibre Chepetz. That's a very important Dibre Chepetz. I haven't seen it in years. actually bought that sefer once just because of that statement about 20 years ago. Anyway, Kitzer, so they assume that's a din daraisa, but it's very difficult, lechura, according to the simple mahalach of the sugya, to come to that maskata. Koshim shad, that's a din d'rabbanan. Of course, we have some kind of din d'rabbanan as well. Rabbi Lichtman Shlita always tells me, even if you hold that the mitzvah of Yish Eretz Yisrael is only a din d'rabbanan, not din d'raisa, means the Rabban holds a din d'raisa to make aliyah. But even if you hold the Rabban Shita is that it's a din d'rabbanan, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah kiyumis. So I'll let you turn to the Rabban and the Rabban Shita as a tshuva. Okay, so now, if you take a look at this page, which I also underline, there are a number of items I want to draw your attention to, okay? Look at first the Lashon of the Mechaber. You see Gimel? Everyone have Gimel on top of the page? Everyone see Gimel? It's on the top of it, it says 10, and there's an arrow. I worked on this actually today. I worked on both things. I just did Xerox the right thing. Yesh li zoyer. Everyone see? Mishmias kol zemer isha b'shas kriyashma. They want us to be careful regarding the singing voice of a woman when one is saying kriyashma, but that only means not only kriyashma, but brachas, Torah, Ram Shem Kedusha, and the Rama is Vafilu B'Ishta. I will call her Ragu B'Ino Eva. This is the famous Messias in the name of the Almay, Bagaz Mamalios. Her speaking voice is not considered to be a violation of this halacha. The Mishnah Brewer writes here, I'm now looking at the Mishnah Brewer, Osi Zayu. Yesh Li Zoyer, Mishnah Brewer says, Zemer Isha, everyone see that? Vafilu Penuya. What does that mean? Even a woman who is single. I will Shalom B'Shas Kriya Shema Shari. Mishnah Brewer says that if it's not during the time when I'm saying Zohar Shabbat Kedusha, I'm saying Kriya Shema, learning Torah, then it's permissible. However, even then the Mishnah Brewer says that what you want to do, Ach, Shalom Yechavim Lehomus Mizeh. That once you then have Kavona, to what? To benefit, to derive any Hana from the singing voice of a woman. Why? Says Mishnah Brewer, Kedishaliyavu Dehiru. In other words, one should not come to any kind of Hiruri Avera. The Gemara says in Yuma that Hiruri Avera, Kashim Avera Atzma. First of all, that's Hiruri. What are Hiruri? Erotic thoughts. Sensual desires. Correct? So that is considered to be worse than the Avera itself. Because that's something that plagues the person, remains with them for an ongoing period of time. It's a famous Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara says that a person who has a desire to do an Avera, what should he do? Let him put on black. Let him dress black. And let him go far away to a place where no one knows who he is. And then what? The word doesn't say. What does that mean? He should do the Avera? Of course, the answer is Chas V'Shalom. What's the idea? Correct. The idea of putting on black is why? In order to discipline himself, to engage in some sort of self-control. Hopefully, against Hashem, he'll be able to get a hold of himself and overcome the desire to do the Avera. So, back here in the Mishnah Brewer, the Mishnah Brewer says, certainly one should not have kavona to have hana from a singing voice, even when one is not involved in Rosh HaBikdusha, Kedishaliyam with the hero. People often ask, why is hero Rasa? You will not, I hope you won't crack up when you hear this next question that someone asked me many years ago. A young woman asked me this question. And I taught these halachas. She said, but in the Zmiras of Shabbos, I say, Hir Hurim Mutarim, Ulishadech Habanos. What is that referring to? Really, she had not learned Masai of Shabbos. Not her fault. Alavai, she should learn Masai of Shabbos. and all the Hilchos Shabbos as a result of it. What is those Yehurim referred to? Not Chas V'Shalom, Yehuri Aveira, God forbid, Rahman Litzlan. But rather, what kind of Yehurim are we talking about? Anyone seeing Zmiras of Shabbos? What? Which ones are Mutter? Not Yehurim of a sexual nature, Chas V'Shalom. That's also the Hechlet. And that's what the Gemara in Yuma, Yehuri Aveira, Kashim Aveira Atzma. They're worse than the Aveira itself. Because they, as I said, play the person, accompany him all the time. Very difficult to get rid of the Yehuri. That's a passing Chumash, that's also Gemara. Namely, Velos Asuru, Akhri Levatu Mechari Lecha. Where's that Gemara found? By any chance? What Masechta? Brachos is correct. What is the Gemara Dashin? Velos Asuru, Akhri Levatu, Zu, Yachrei Nechem, Zu, which Gemara are you referring to? The Gemara doesn't use that lashon, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't learned brachas in many years, so. The Gemara said, what does that refer to?
Yeah, the
Gemara
is talking about
Minos. You are correct. What you said, Yitzchak. You have to stop with the Zohar. But Achrei Nechem, what does that refer to? Excellent. That's exactly the same Gemara I had in mind, but you knew it right away. The Gemara says, you're talking about Hirur after the Zohar. Achrei Levatim Zuminus. Very good. Thank you. And this is a Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch actually talked about this. Okay, but my interest in citing this was simply that one should be extremely careful that one should not be led to Yehuri Aveira. And obviously, Yehuri Aveira come about as a result of being exposed to all kinds of a streetcar named Desire, which come about through videos and what have you, movies that people see that one has to be extremely careful about. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes further. I want to read a bit further. The Zemeh Eish Es Ish, the singing voice of a married woman, the Chayim Kalarayas, the Olam Asa L'Shmoa, which refers to what? Let's say, my relatives. My aunt. That's Arayas. The Olam Asa L'Shmoa. The Chayim, the Mishnah Berurah goes on, you can never listen to the singing voice of an Eish Es Ish or a married woman. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, the Chayim Penuya, Shehi Nida, a single woman who's a nida mechlal arayasi, she's considered to have the status of arayas. Why is a single woman considered to have the status of arayas? Is she arayas? Is she listed in the parsha nacharemos and kedoshim with all the other arayas? As long as she hasn't gone to the mikvah, she has the status of a nida. And the question whether nida is considered to be arayas or not is a test of nida. All discussion among Rishonim, a very fascinating discussion. But the Shabura says, regarding this halacha, regarding the halacha of Kol Misha Erva, a Pnuya, who's a Nida, Mephala Raisi, by the way, there's a Rivash, a famous tribute of the Rivash, Rabbi Yitzchak Bashashis, perfect, in Spain, one of Shulchan Aruch actually, that a single woman should not go to Mikvah. And the reason is fairly evident, fairly obvious. Once a single woman goes to the Mikvah, a person might, Rahman with Islam, come to the Maskana, that I can go ahead and have sexual relations with her. Because the issue of nida, the issue of kares, is not operative since she went to the mikvah. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that a single woman should not go to the mikvah. The Mishnah Berurah goes further here. Upsulos nidam kulam cheskas nida hem, shagilam zman best. What does that mean? All single girls, once they reach the age of puberty, so the Mishnah Berurah says, they're considered to be, once the nida cycle begins, once the menstrual cycle begins, they have the status of an erva, and therefore you cannot listen to their single voice. But also the Shema, and here the Mishnah Berurah is a very striking statement. You're not allowed to listen to their singing voice. Bein Koyein uBein Yisrael. What's the nature of that statement? Why would I want to distinguish between the Koyein and the Yisrael? Why would I assume that Allah applies only to whom? To a Koyein, and not to a Yisrael. And the answer, of course, is that the Gemara has many times in Shas, that a Kohen has an extra dimension of Kedusha. So perhaps only for, quote-unquote, very holy people. Does this halacha apply? But people like myself who are not so holy, if it's Andrew, there you are, over there. He's a holy person. So it applies to people of his ilk, of his nature, of his sanctity. But simple people like myself, simple Yisraels, that's halacha not apply. Mr. Brewer tells you no. Ben Kohen, Ben Yisrael. So it comes out, according to Mishnah Berurah, every Pnuya has the status of a Nida, of Erva, and therefore, there is a Makom to be Medayik now in the Mishnah Berurah the following Diyah. Let's say a Pnuya is not a Nida, she's Tahora. Of course, that's not possible, unless she went to the Mikvah. But assuming a Pnuya went to the Mikvah, and therefore she's Tahor, and she's not a Nida, it would emerge in the Mishnah Berurah, can I listen to her singing voice? What is the pashas of the Mishnah Berurah? The answer is yes. I'd be allowed to hear her singing voice. As soon as she went to the mikvah, she's not a nida, I could hear her singing voice. But not bisman kriyashma, not bisman amiras rav shev yudusha. Not during the time that one is learning Torah, one is saying brachas, rav shev yudusha. And therefore, even bishmias kaholak shi tohra, even when you're allowed to hear her singing voice, however, you cannot be mechavim lehonos. That's what Mishnah Berurah points out. Even though Mikra did, you hear what I'm saying? You can hear her singing voice because she went to the mikvah. She's tar, she's not a nida, she's not a rayas, she's not erva. But there's still another problem. What's that problem? The problem is you can't have kamana to have hanah from her kol. So it comes out, if I have a young woman below the age of bat mitzvah, let's say they're singing in a play, in a choir, in the play, should emerge as a problem of a man coming to listen to their singing, even though they're singing all below the age where a woman becomes a nida. But what is the interest of those men who come to hear her? I imagine the interest is to have a pleasurable experience of listening to women singing. Now, I'm talking about the following issue. This comes up all the time, and I was just asked this question last week by someone in my shul. His daughter, below bat mitzvah, she's in a cantata. You familiar with that? Some sort of a choral group of her school, and there are young women, not just his daughter, but other women who are going to be singing. The question is, can I attend? The father asked me. Can I attend that choral group? Or for that matter, a man going to an opera, or some sort of a musical, and you're going with a, clearly, what's your intention?
There's
Arayas, as W.F. pointed out. So there you're obviously involved in a very, you're entangled in a very serious issue. Correct. So, but even assuming, I say, a young girl below the age of bat mitzvah, if your intention is lehonos, you have a problem. So I just want to note this item in the Mishnah Berurah. I think it's very material. There's a Chumra of Moshe Feinstein. I actually have it, but I didn't Xerox it. You're probably familiar with the Chumra, right? He's very into everything. Amesha has a tshuva over here in our Chayim. He's talking about, again, young girls below the age of 11, as he discussed it. And the issue is where, as I said, young girls are involved in choral groups and singing, and the parent wants to come. A father is allowed to hear his daughter singing, no question about it. It's mudul hatfila. But the question is, what about hearing all the other young women? Am I allowed to hear them in this cantata? And that's what they call it, no? That's what he used. That's the term that this father used on me. Cantata. So the answer of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal is there any way that al pi halacha a man can attend this presentation to hear young women singing? They're coming to hanos. And he writes the following: the afa mishnah brura nira the kaven chain of isu bitzad ze atzmo dinen and puya tora rak mishum shash sheviyamo the hearer. Since the whole basis of the isu is what that you might come and they hear her, correct? It's only a young girl who's what? A gedola, who's of age. And she reached the age of 12 in a day. Avol bitanos ein lachosh lehirur. There's no shash with a girl, here we're talking under the age of 11, that there'll be hirur. Ki ein matzi she yisa ve'af me'af putzi. Good, Rav Moshe did not live in our generation. It's unlikely, Rav Moshe says, that unless you are a porus, porus means someone who is dissolute, wanting. I don't mean wantang soup. Wanting in their morals. Thank you. Only such a person would have a sensual desire for these young women. I skip the whole truth, of course. That's what people do. They read the question, and then they go to the last paragraph. They go to the last paragraph of Hagoyin Amisha Feinstein Tetzal. Lachain Yiran Amaisa. Kevin Chikol Tarasa Hagoyin Amisha. She Yeshul Achma Yeshul Dichvi Adin. Apparently, the person who asked the question, let's say it was a rug, was in this kind of situation that, let's say it's a small community, and this might create all kinds of angst. People might go into pyrotechnics. Yesh lahatir. And Moshe is Mekel. Kishayiyu hamizamros ktanos lo yosef mibnos yudal shonok. Not more than the age of 11. Some women start menstruating at this age, after 11. Ugdolos mibnos yudal. What about if a young woman is older than 11? Abshadu ashadayim lo roh dam. They didn't menstruate yet. Abshadidina hochaki sheish lahoki abikolu kamish lahachmir. One should be machmir beyond the age of 11. There are some women who have menstruated. There's no need, of course, then what should one do? One should not be matir. It should not be medical. Don't be leaning. Why? He writes the last line here, which is an absolutely singular manifesto that one should follow. Keep his bar, Melu. Hamachmir, Kadosh Yomalo. In these matters, those who are machmir, they are, what are they doing? They're striving for Kiddushah. They're striving for a higher level of sanctity. So obviously we're talking about an older woman, 14, 15, 16, 13, etc. It's going to arouse certain types of Bihurim. Ramosha is not worried about Akhtana. It's not going to arouse those types of Bihurim. And therefore Ramosha permitted it in the case of a young child below the age of 11, only when there's a tzorech, if there's a necessity for it. Correct? I just want to read a little bit more of the Mishabura, if I can. Look further in the Mishabura now. Just following the lines of Mishabura. By the way, anyone who read Mishabura, how I say there, is astounded by the Mishabura. I am astounded by the Mishabura. I have not been learning Mishabura probably as long as you have, maybe 45 years or so. I didn't even know about the Mishabura when I was a youngster. Never heard of it. I only heard of the Chayyadim, the Kishon Shavuot. There's somebody who made a siyum at Kiddush Chanoch. I forgot. I was zocher to be in attendance. Right. Wow. What an accomplishment. I never made a siyum at Kiddush Chanoch, nor did I ever make a siyum at Chayodom. I learned the whole Chayodom, but I didn't make a siyum at it. I learned it when I was in grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, then in high school, we learned Chayodom. We also learned Chachma Sadom as well. I never was there to make a CMA.
It makes sense, like, why a father wouldn't have hirurim for these 11-year-old daughter, the 11-year-old daughter. But what about like a brother who's like 13 years old, who like that's closer in age than the father's?
That question's
answered.
There's quite a distinction between a father who's a mature person, clearly the one who asked Rav Moshe the question, was not Chas v'Shalom, someone who's a parutz, clearly someone who's an ethical person, doctoring in halacha, kedasa kedin. So a mature person, so one could again assume, and in the case of a brother and sister also, clearly, even though regarding yichud, the halachas of a brother and sister are a bit more chamor than they are, let's say, with a father and daughter, a mother and son. There's no issur yichud for a father and a daughter, or for that matter, any grandparent and a grandchild, whether it's a granddaughter or a grandson. A brother and sister, it's a din gemara kedusha, gemara pe'alach. It's a din shalach, from base, ebon ezer. The din shalach likes my chabrusa. I had a chabrusa. Very kosher a chabrusa. He is kosher, his brother is kosher. And I was off a few years ago to learn with him. He taught me Hilchos Yichud. So in the course of learning with him Hilchos Yichud, we discussed this question that you just raised. But regarding Yichud, the brother and sister, are they allowed to be in Yichud? So the Mishnah writes in Kedushin, they're allowed to be in Yichud only for apparently a limited amount of time. The question is, what's the nature of that limitation? The Gemara uses the lashon of lifrokim. What does that mean, lifrokim? So then, of course, the poskim go throughout Shas and discuss the word lifrokim, which of course is out of which Masechta? Namely, where is it found?
Second
pair. Yes, what does it say there?
Isn't it until people think they're living together?
But is that prokim the same prokim that I'm talking about?
No.
Thank you. So which prokim am I referring to when I speak about the prokim? The word the prokim is found a number of times in Shas, obviously. Well, what does it mean, the prokim? The prokim means from time to time. What's called from time to time? So the apostle would say that the Issa of Yichud, the brother and sister, I know many situations, let's say, where young men and women went to colleges, secular colleges, and they wanted the same brother, so they live together, brother and sister.
It's until people think they're living.
Is that permissible? It is awesome. Because they're only allowed to be together, the prokim. So the apostle would say the prokim means not shoshim yom. For example, the parakaroa that we have right in front of us, I think it's the ninth parak, I'm not mistaken. Thank you. That parak discusses brachas. What kind of brachas are we talking about? That the Mishnah speaks about here, aroa, mokom, shenasim, adisim, liyisrael, different types of brachas. Are these brachas obligatory? Are these brachas reshus? Achot is a reshayim. Achot is a shemonot. Correct? The Rabbi Shita, famous Rabbi, that he assumes these brachas are reshus. They're not a chobah. They're not obligatory. They're only optional in nature. And how does he prove it? He claims that the Mishnah talking about brachas we shem malchus. Mishnah does not mention shem malchus. That's a raya that it's not a legitimately obligatory bracha because the Gemara says in brachas what does it say? Kol bracha shem shem malchus. Hey, a bracha. Is that how we understand the Mishnah? Or do we understand the Mishnah, even though it doesn't mention Shem HaMalchus?
Abbreviated.
You have to abbreviate it. You have to say Shem HaMalchus. The big Machlokes of Rishonim. Correct? And there's also another Machlokes of Rishonim, what the nature of these brachas are. As you are familiar with that, I assume you discussed this issue. Anyway, whatever the case is, here these brachas are said, Hizman Sheroeh Liprokim. That's what I'm referring to, this Mishnah. When you see what? What do you see? Yama Godot. You see a Liprokim.
30 days.
What does it mean you see a Liprokim? So the Rishonim say, Achrenim say, 30 days. So that's a tzom, took that, the prokim over here, and connected with the Gemara over there, and Kedushin, the prokim. Now that also means what? It's not Nogea here anymore. Alright. And therefore they say, the prokim by a brother and sister also refers to they're allowed to live together 30 days. That's not what the Igus Meisha says. Meisha Feinstein, Allah Rice, and that's what I heard from my Rebbe, and this from Albert Zatzal. If they have viewed as living together, Ba'ovi Kavua can be less than 30 days, and already it's awesome. And that's generally what Puskin assume. There are different shiurim in Puskin, there are many Puskin who talk about this issue, but they compare the prokim over here to the prokim of the Gemara Kedushin, which is, of course, a rather difficult kind of comparison, the Chura. They're two separate issues, and I'm even with the Raya. Okay, why am I mentioning this? Back to your question. But now, brother and sister, as far as singing,
there's also, other 11-year-old girls in that, whatever that's called, the choir.
I'm talking about the whole family comes. I'm not sure actually here does not, he's talking about the father.
Right.
Often the whole family comes to, I understood that people told me that in high schools in the United States, they have such things. Cantatas. That's the right lashon. Can you look it up, please? Thank you. One second. So they have cantatas, and families come to hear. You have. Okay, that's the term that he used on me this week. I'm not so familiar with it. It's like I'm not a member of a musical ensemble, nor do I have much musical aptitude. Yeah, I told you.
It's a real thing.
Of course it's a real thing.
You need one narrative piece of music for voices with instrumental accompaniment.
Excellent.
With solos, chorus, and orchestra.
Ta-ta-ta.
It's a country of origin, it's Italy.
Usually you eat it together with French fries. No, I'm just saying, but I... So now the question of families come to hear, they told me that this takes place in schools in the United States. Kaf Shamati? Is that so? I don't know. Not familiar, no? Not in Dogma. Everything is going to Shadoshi.
Its peak usage was in the 1950s.
But there are other 11-year-old girls. There are other 11-year-old girls, not just his sister, that are going to be singing there. So as a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
What are you saying?
No, I'm saying it's not like he's just listening
there's
to his 12
sister. 12 girls there. Not all of them are your relatives.
That's the issue I'm discussing. But that's the question of a brother and sister. Can a brother hear a sister singing? Pashup chat? We're talking about a different setting. That's the setting that the Mishnah Berurah here is discussing. Let me kind of go a bit further if you don't mind. The Mishnah Berurah, he said, well, I say the Mishnah Berurah is an astounding saver. That's how I came from the Chayyot and the Chachma Sodom. And what have you, Mishnah Berurah is, the more I learn Mishnah Berurah, the more I'm astounded by it. I am in awe of the Mishnah Berurah. Awe is not the right word. I am mesmerized by the Mishnah Berurah. I'm riveted by him. I am so taken by the Mishnah Berurah, I am captivated. I'm literally a shovel in the hands of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is Kedush Tavash. Kedush Tavash. Rav Feinstein, Zatzal, Moron Hagoyim, Golo Ador, he assumed there's no steer in the entire Mishnah Berurah. The Seder S steer is the Mishnah Berurah, it's Miyashi then. Left and right. I try every year to go visit Moran Hagoyim, Benoisha Hagoyim, Amesha Feinstein. I love Feinstein, that's how I love Rabbi Feinstein. I love him for two reasons. One, he's a very lovable person, very warm, sweet person. I love him because he just happens to know Kala Torah Kula in his pocket. I like those people. So I ask him, steer us in the Igros Moshe. So he tells me, last time he told me, Rabbi David, there are no spirits with my father. I said, how could it be? He wrote tshuvas over a span of 75 years. And his response was, my father's memory was impeccable. He didn't forget it. The tshuva he wrote 75 years ago, he knew exactly what he wrote. And he also knew Kala Torah Kula by heart, which he did. So does his son, apparently, although he is very modest about it. And I often ask him spirits of Mishnah Berurah. I come prepared with the Rishima of Steelers that I during the course of the year, then I count them, I write them down, and then I come to Abdullah Fang, say, lower his side, and ask them all the Steelers. Rabbi David, and all the Steelers of Mishnah Berurah. That's what I'm talking about. Those who claim, I don't fully understand it, that the Mishnah Berurah was written by a number of different people. I don't want to mention who said this, a great Rosh Hashiva. And therefore, one person wrote one thing, one person wrote something else. I have difficulty with that position. That's what this Rosh Hashiva said. And then there, even though there are steerers, he wrote, I assume the Mishnah Berurah edited the entire Mishnah Berurah. Would you not say so? A man who's a brisker, of course you would say so. Not a suffix. Okay, I must go further. I haven't begun yet. Yes.
No, you don't want to go further.
Do you mind if I just go? Yeah, thank you very much.
No worries.
So the last line in the Tshuva Rav Moshe is very telling to me that the Yetzer within man is so strong in this area, people have to make fences for themselves. So if it's absolutely necessary to put on a play, and men have to attend the play, and the women are below the age of 11, fine, Rav Moshe is Mekel. Not a Matfila. But if it's not absolutely necessary, then one should be Machmir and Kodeshir Malo. That's what Rav Moshe writes here in the Tshuva. Okay, I go further. It's in Kutten. We're still reading. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the Kol Zeh Atuya Nachris, many people listen to non-Jewish music. I personally, I'll be honest with you, do not understand why. So you'll tell me, what do you mean? What do you know about music? I scored highest when I took an aptitude test after high school as a musician and a conductor of an orchestra. Shows you those aptitude tests are worth. But I also was in a choir as a very young man. So I did have an aptitude for music. I have to enjoy music. I don't listen to it, but I have to enjoy it. When I hear it, they're coming. However, most of what is played today is cacophony. Has no shyness to music, you use it. Okay, that's just an editorial comment. So, what does Mr. Burr say? Kol zemer, penuya nachris, igamdi b'chol erba, vasa l'shmaya, ben kayin ben Yisrael. Did I read it correctly? Yes. Listening to rock stars. I would say it's not only us because of Kol Isha. I say there's another issue. Most of the lyrics, from what I understand, that are invoked today in pop culture are based on sexual themes, are based on values that are inimical to everything Torah Judaism stands for. And I'm not a mumche. I don't claim to be a mumche. You, of course, are not because you're in Boca. But I'm just saying that, from what I understand, the rock music today is designed for one reason. To arouse the sensual desires of the Yetzer Hara. 99%. Who told this to me? People of Mashua. They're not from Boca. So it seems to me that this itself is problematic. I mean, it's true, I think the lyrics in my day, since you went ahead and put me in a chronological sphere, were considerably more mild than they are today. I was shown not long ago some of the lyrics, and I was absolutely appalled. Mutzu machmas mius. I was absolutely stunned. Obviously, I'm clearly not as in tandem or in sync with music as you are. I really am not. I actually don't listen to music as well. You'll ask me why. The answer is I'm a Shiva. But I do go to chasidus very often, and I dance. I try my best, not as well as people from Boca, but I partial function of my age as well, a few other factors. I do dance. I hear music. I chasidus. Sudas mitzvah. I have no problem with that. But here, the Mishnah Berurah says. We spoke about it today. Let's say one is traveling and you have no choice but to hear the music. Let's say you're in a setting where music is being played. For example, often you go shopping in malls. One of the thousand reasons I made Aliyah is to escape the mall mentality. You know how many times I've gone to the malls here in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, which are beautiful malls? According to my wife, you can count it on one hand and it'll be less than five. When I was in Toronto, when did I go to the malls? Every fucking dollar shit. Every Monday and Wednesday. That's an expression. Can you explain to them earlier what that means, that expression? Constantly shop till you drop. That's the motto. So, Baruch Hashem, I have no money here. In this way, that takes care of that problem. I don't have to shop till I drop. I'm just stopping the war. Among the thousand reasons to come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that was an editorial comment. Shabura says, if you're on the road, Ben Ha'akum, Abayir, Ru Anu, Shiyev Shev Olimchos, Kedil Abatzino, Dimitri Abram, the Isa. What does that mean? We don't find that what? That it's called Erba the Isa, means it's not the Erba the Abana. Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, put on the cross of the Baruch. Allow to say Kriya Shema, make a bracha din lo kein, because we live among non-Jews, says Mishnah Berurah. Not if you live in Eretz Yisrael. Another one of the thousand reasons to come to Eretz Yisrael. To live among Jews. It's called Mishnah Berurah. Say that I name. Anyway, so this is the so Mishnah Berurah says, since we are living among non-Jews, nisbato mitaru tefila, we'll never be able to learn. Why? Because we're constantly surrounded and enveloped by what? By non-Jewish music, by people singing. That's true. To a lot of extent, people like music. Music is the obviously a very strong and certainly a very significant aspect of many people's lives. And then the Mishnah Berurah of the Alzeh Ne'emar, what's the head there? To daven and to learn? Hey, Slas and Hashem, if they were to wow. Where's that Pasuk quoted? In which Masechta? Among the many?
Prophets.
Isn't that something? That puzzle is quoted right here in the Mishnah and Aroah, and that's from Dalal and Aleph, in a different context. Of course, the context here is in order the Takonis Chazal. Namely, when you meet someone, what do? To be Shol Shlom Chaver B'Shem. And the Mishnah quotes the puzzle, Yizlas Hashem, the favorite Torah Secho. And that puzzle is actually Rashi in Makkos Chavdalin. Rashi discusses 2 days, whether it's a Heter or Chiyuv, to be Shol Shlom Chaver B'Shem. I just mentioned this gentleman from Britain who is always accosting me, telling me he's Dibre Tera. He doesn't see him as Medish. Very nice person. He has all Shtikl Teras. Every time he meets me, he tells me a Shtikl Tera. I like it immensely. He also doesn't let me talk. So he asked a question. I have an answer. He's not interested. I told him. He asked me a question. I said, I have 5 mahalchim to answer the question. He said, no, you have to hear Mashti Kotera. I said, go more. I enjoyed it immensely. If you remind me, I'll tell you what he really said. Anyway, but what does Mishagura say? That we are found among non-Jews. We're constantly enveloped, surrounded by Jews. We have no control. So what should a person do? Ach yis'ameitz libo l'chavim l'kdusha shu'ol say. Well, he did libo l'kazem. What should I do? I should try to focus on what? On the drum should be doing that I'm involved in, and don't pay attention to cause that man. A chayal last week asked me the following question. Chayal tzah, boger yeshiva. Is it yeshiva? Yeshiva tzah tzah. And he became sure he told Shabbat. And he became sure he came ahead. I spoke Hebrew, so no one will understand what I'm talking about. Just talking. He asked me the following. And Yom HaSmud, he had a particular topic that he had to play. It so happened that topic also involved women singing. Yes, what did he do? I asked him, what are the options? He said, there is no option to escape or to go elsewhere. He was compelled to be in that particular situation. And then he was sort of reading my mind. Is there an option to go and put Ozniot in your ears so you won't hear the Kalisha? No. That would be disrespectful and even be viewed as being an absolute slap in the face. So he was in a very difficult situation. He's a Chayal, who's a Yerei Shamayim. Rabbi Ifra knows him. Rabbi Rimmel does not know him. A number of years ago he was in the yeshiva. He asked me, what should I do? So I told him, and the third option right away he raised with me was the tshuva of Rav Chaya Yaakov Weinberg, the famous tshuva of Tzvi Deish, that I would like to discuss, but I don't think I now have about 30 seconds left. Actually, the tshuva this needs about 100 hours. But the I told him, I don't think you're involved in Kira, as far as I know. I don't think the army setting is the setting of Kira. So what should I do, he told me. He himself rejected the three options, and he himself realized that the options were not either realistic or impractical or impracticable, not pragmatic. I told him, every week he calls me Erev Shabbos. Every single Erev Shabbos over the last 5 years. To wish me a good Shabbos. I don't always answer his call because I don't always have the telephone on me at that moment in time. There's not an Erev Shabbos that goes by when I talk to him that he doesn't share with me Divrei Torah. Every Erev Shabbos, it's a beautiful Torah Shravan graduate. Chayal and Tzal. I said to him, here's what you will do. Tell me over the Shikul Torah that you have. And he started telling me over a whole Shikul Torah. And I'm a Sechna. That is what I said, focus on that Shikul Torah. And disregard the Kol Zemer of the women and men. He said, God Aram, me'efo lakachta etze. I told him, Simon Ein Hei, and Mr. Baruch. And the rabbi looked at his halachas, but I recall it from a number of years ago. Yesh makom badun etze. It's not simple. I know many mechanchim who are in women's institutions.
In the army, there are girls who are 11 years old.
I've read the end of this. Do you see the end of this, Mr. Baruch? These are not goyim. These are Jewish women who are obviously not 11 years old, considerably older. And yet, I told him this is what he should do. Follow the eights of the Mishnah Berurah. Just focus. I'll give you another example. A question has been asked to me a number of times by the chantim who work in women's institutions. And it's women's institutions where there's a lot of kira going on, real kira. I mean, women are not so observant, I don't come from backgrounds. I'll end with this if I won't be over in Baltesa. I would like to be, but I won't. Is there anything to do after this?
No.
But it's not fair to be not
fair.
I'm sorry, not
anything
to do with
it.
Did I dive into it? I think I did.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. so, these are the constant who asked me the following question in the last 25, 30 years. There are situations where they are with women, and they're teaching women, and these are women who are made in Balichuba, and they have situations where they're caught up there on Shabbos. Women are singing. And for them to leave would be a slap in the face. What should they do?
Leave. He said
that. Time was Rabbi Yisro. I told him, Mishas HaTzach, if they are able to leave, that's the ideal. But assuming they're not able, one of them told me he's a manal of a very large women's institution of hundreds of young women. He cannot leave. I told him this is what he should do. This is it. The only reason why I can say that is because I'm older than Rabbi Yisro and Rabbi Yisro. That's all. It's not poshut at all. It's a complicated issue. It's an issue that's come up in the Israeli army. I don't know if you're al-Quran, what's happening here in this country. I am, because I have chayalim in my shul, and there are a number of chayalot as well. I'm not a fan of chayalot. I hope it's awesome for women to be in the army. It's also on a number of grounds, but on tznius grounds, unquestionably, and also for other reasons as well. But these are issues that they confront on an ongoing basis. So this is an eitz of the Shas HaTzach for someone who's in that situation. Okay, I'm going to stop. But can I have permission to continue? Or maybe there's nothing to be gained by this, and therefore there's no need to continue.
Sure.
But I only have a different permission. Let's use the ready, my ready. My ready, move on. So this one over here. But yes, we also my son.